This is Will's Band of the Week for February 23rd, 2010. Hello and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. And we're all here again. I think we've got a good streak going now with all of us here.
We do. It's almost not, you don't even need to mention that anymore.
I know. I keep saying it and I don't need to. You're right. I mean, Barrett's been off probation now for a couple weeks at least. And I don't know, Chris, you never were on probation, were you?
I think it actually speaks ill of me that I have this much time to spend doing these podcasts.
Yeah, it could be.
I should just be off every now and then just to pretend like I got some more important to do. But.
Right. That's probably a good strategy. We need to work on our PR, don't we?
Yeah.
All right. Well, here we are. So I guess I should do this right now and tell people they can contact us by sending an email to willsband@yahoo.com or go to the website willsband.net and you can post a comment or just read the exciting content there. And, of course, you can go to iTunes and find us there and subscribe. That's really the fun way to do it.
Yeah, I told my wife on Saturday that she could download the podcast at iTunes. She thought I was joking. She thought you could only buy, you know, music and maybe famous podcasts would be available there. But even up-and-comers, you can get a lot of different things there. And she was impressed by that.
That's like being on iTunes, like, confers you with some kind of celebrity status?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like being on YouTube makes you a movie star.
Right.
Exactly. Like, someday I hope to make it to YouTube.
You can only hope.
But I think people are, you know, that is a nice thing. People are, it makes it convenient for them to find us.
It's a good method, definitely. So we strongly recommend it. My son does have a video on YouTube of himself and his brothers on a swing, jumping off the swing and landing in a wheelbarrow. Now that is just,
that's cool.
Cinematic excellence.
Was the wheelbarrow moving when they landed in it?
It moved when they landed. It kind of rolled. I think, I can't remember if it fell down. I don't know. You know, it's just crazy stuff. Don't try this at home kind of stuff.
I hope they have the requisite disclaimer on there.
Yeah, we always do that. Okay, hey, we've got some music news. You know what it is?
I do not. This is a surprise to me.
Well, there really isn't any. So the music news is that we saw Wilco on Saturday night, all three of us.
Yep. What the first thing that I came away with, I think the length of the show was extraordinary. It was about two hours and 20 minutes. Half of that being an extended encore. I thought they were great. I mean, it was really tight, and the band. These guys have all been together now for a little while, even though, I mean, Wilco's been together 15 or 16 years, but had kind of a rotating cast of guitar players and multi-instrumentalists and stuff. But these guys have been together for a while, and you can tell, and they're pretty tight. And I enjoyed the show quite a bit.
Yeah, I did.
Encore went on for a good solid hour, at least.
Yeah, it really did. I pretty much thought the same thing as Barrett. I at times, I was sitting there thinking, wow, I'm just watching something great. You know, this is probably the best current American rock band. At other times, there were a few times I thought where they sort of slipped into being sort of ordinary. But overall, the positives were much greater than the ordinaries. So, yeah, I'm giving it a enthusiastic thumbs up.
Yes, me too.
Well, we sat in different spots. How were your seats, by the way? Did we discuss this?
We had.
If we did discuss this, I don't remember it.
What are we going to call this, Barrett? Sort of a bird's eye view, maybe.
Yeah, we could see. Yeah, they were fine. You know, I mean, we were in the balcony and kind of, you know, near the center of the balcony.
Yeah, we were.
So we, you know, got a straight on shot and stuff.
Yep,
it was good.
We were up, but not all the way up, and yeah, the view was good. Sound was decent.
You were going to be jealous because I got to sit right in front of a large, fat man who knew every word to every song and sang every song at the top of his lungs.
Oh, God, that's terrible.
Yes.
Oh, man.
So, you know, I don't want you to be jealous because, you know, I got to sit right in front of this guy.
Yeah,
and
we
at
had
some point, I had enough liquid courage in me to turn around and please ask him to, I believe my words were, I didn't pay $40 to hear you sing. I'm sure you're a wonderful singer. And he stuck his hand out and like gave me the talk to the hand motion, which.
And then did he start singing louder?
He was not fazed at all by my intimidating presence. So he just kept going on and on. So I don't know. I was pretty much irritated for at least the first half of the concert. For some reason, he actually disappeared, I think, during the encore. I don't know. I don't know what his deal was, but I also in the bathroom met a guy from Duluth, Minnesota, who was at the show in Duluth the night before and actually flew down to Madison to catch the next show.
Wow,
that's so dedication.
That is dedication.
Yes. Have you ever flown to a concert before?
No.
There you go.
If you're going to do that, you might as well just follow the tour bus. You know.
Yeah.
I think they still take a bus, right, Wilco? I mean, they're kind of big time, but I don't think they fly from gig to gig.
Yeah, I saw a couple of tour buses parked out in front of the venue.
Yeah.
So.
But yeah, I enjoyed the show. Aside those caveats aside, I enjoyed it quite a bit. Sadly, the Orpheum Theater overserved me, so I'm probably going to have to take some action against them.
Oh, you mean the...
The Overture Center?
Oh, did I say the Orpheum?
Overture Center, yes. Yeah.
Sadly, the Overture Center overserved me, so I'm going to have to take some kind of action against them.
They should know not to do that.
Really, they really should. They should have a picture of me up in there.
I had one beer in there that we went and got before the show, and I kind of wanted to have another one because the show was going on so long. But you had to get by people, and then there's like the ushers that are like your, you know, parents, friends, and stuff, and I just... I couldn't do it. I sat there and enjoyed the music, but I would have liked to have another drink.
Yeah.
I had no such qualms. Like, everybody out of my way. I need another beer.
I think it's a great venue acoustically, and I like the look of it and everything. The staff there tend to be a little formal, and they won't let you bring a drink inside the theater unless you have this little cap on the top. It's basically a sippy cup because they're afraid you're going to spill something. You know, so it's just something that goes with the territory, I guess.
Yeah, it's a nice, shiny new theater, and they just don't want to turn it into
a dump.
A dump.
Yeah.
There's going to be some blood drawn if that guy kept singing behind me.
Yeah.
There's going to be a throwdown. I'd be doing this podcast from, like, cell block F.
That would have made a great story for the podcast if you got thrown in jail.
Yes.
Because sometime you'll have to do that. Take one for the team.
Sure, just for the sake of the podcast?
Yeah.
Or maybe from the intensive care unit. That's where, yeah. Where Chris might...
Through right. A tube, yes. one of those voice box things that you like talk through a stoma, like through a hole in your neck or something.
Yeah.
Like Fuzzy Thurston talks.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think he actually smokes cigarettes through him.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to pick a highlight track. My favorite track from the show, favorite song, I think, was Impossible Germany. I thought that just totally captured this era of Wilco, the Nels Klein Wilco. It has a great kind of melody to it, and then Nels Klein goes crazy at the end. And I, you know, Barrett, you've talked before about thinking that sometimes you think he sort of takes over too much. How did you feel about them live? Did you think he went overboard or... created an imbalance?
No, I mean, first of all, just by the way the band is situated on the stage, like if you're sitting in the audience, the two guys in the front are Jeff on the left side and then John on the right, the bass player,
mm-hmm.
who gets that position just for longevity. And then Nels Klein is off to the back a little bit, standing by all the amps and stuff. So he can make some noise, you know, develop some feedback and stuff, but in that position. But it also just kind of de-emphasizes him because he's a little bit of a spastic performer and can kind of take away visually, I think, you know, if they're not careful.
He does move in a way that the other band members don't. He's got these sort of jerky movements. Which...
Like a spaz.
Yeah. For some reason, I thought that this time he was not quite as out front as he was the last time we saw them.
I agree.
In terms of like just the overall performance. But I really did think that some of his solos and things were highlights. I just thought they were great. I think he's a really great addition to the band. In fact, I was reading a review today with somebody who said that they thought that hiring Nels Klein was one of Jeff Tweedy's smartest moves he ever made. So maybe that's going a little overboard, but I think he's a great addition to the band.
Yeah, I've been, I don't know if I've been critical, but I think sometimes his work is a little bit too, I don't know if ornamental is the right word, but it's too showy and flashy. And I like Jeff's kind of sloppy, noisy guitar solos. And I think that fits the Wilco ethic, the way that I think of the band. And Nels just adds something different, a little bit of, he's a great musician. So I'm coming around. I'm starting to like him. Four albums in, or three, or whatever it is. I guess it's three.
Yeah. All right.
Hey, keep going. I'm enjoying this conversation.
Okay, yeah. You don't have to participate, Chris. We'll just keep going for a while here.
Well, I think that's how the music portion of this is going to go, but go ahead. Pick your song.
All right. Are we done talking about Wilco now?
Oh, I thought you were going to play a song, a selection. Oh.
No, I wasn't going to play one. I just was commenting on one.
Chris, maybe you could sing that one, Impossible Germany, right? Is that the one that Will picked?
Yeah.
I'll give you the lyrics. It's Impossible Germany, Unlikely Japan, and then just keep singing.
I'd love to be able to call the guy sitting behind me. He'd be able to sing every word for you.
Yeah.
He even knew like the deep cuts.
One thing that was pretty impressive is Madison's overall knowledge of the lyrics. Like when they did a song, Jesus, Etc., and he said, I'm going to have you guys sing it. And, you know, this was on their streaming on their website. And, you know, I'm kind of singing the line a little bit under my breath. And I'm like, I don't know all these words. But the audience was all over it. They knew the whole thing. It was very impressive.
It really was, because there were not only just the fact that that many people sang, there had to be a solid 500 people actually singing, don't you think?
Right. Yeah,
and then
loud.
They did know just about all the words. And I'm kind of like you. I know when the words sound like they're the right words, but I wouldn't have been able to come up with all of them.
Right. Or somebody has to maybe start a phrase and then you can join in a little bit. But
yeah,
people didn't miss a beat.
So it's interesting to me how Wilco concerts in Madison somehow have become like such big social events in Madison all of a sudden, because I mean, I remember like 2 years ago, I think we went to go see him at, where was it, at the Barrymore? And, you know, we didn't get there early or anything, and we walked right up front. You know, I set my beer down on the stage, and
right.
We were that close. And now that they're playing the Overture Center, you know, it's the toughest ticket in town. They sold out in like 10 minutes, and, you know, it's a packed house, and people just seem to go crazy.
Yeah.
And this has all happened in the time where their last two albums I haven't been like totally, you know, head over heels with. So I don't know. It's just interesting to me how suddenly, like in the last 2 years, it's just become this huge social event in town.
Do you think they'll become one of these bands that like 10 years after they've even put out an album, they'll play Madison on an annual basis, like the Bodines?
For sure. Yeah. If they wanted to do that, they could keep doing that.
They could if they wanted.
Let's hope it doesn't get to that.
Yeah. I can't see Wilco really sort of degenerating like that.
Well, Wilco is—they really are like the gold standard for, you know, the types of bands that we listen to. I mean, nothing that we listen to is ever going to get, you know, there are a couple, Radiohead, et cetera, but for the most part, the best you can ask for is to be just kind of a workman-like group that goes about their business and plays small clubs and has a solid following.
Yeah, so, they're sort of the pinnacle of indie rock,
right?
If they are indie rock,
this is as good as it gets for, you know, homegrown indie rockers, I think.
Yeah, it's like, you know, kind of organic and human music, and they're old, that's some bonus points there.
Absolutely.
And they've got just enough bleeps and bloops and interesting little things going on their records to make dads who listen to it feel like they're cool.
Yeah, the 60-year-old woman next to me, not my neighbor, but a different one, agreed with me that Summer Teeth is her favorite Wilco album. So we had that going for us.
Yeah, I'll second that emotion. That is my That's the first one I really loved.
I'm going to have to listen to that. I don't even have that one. You guys are going to have to lend me that one.
Yeah.
For absolutely. Some reason, I actually have the Summer Teeth demos before I actually had the Summer Teeth album.
Do you own that right now?
Yeah, I do.
Wow.
I could, I mean, we can talk off air.
I'll have to call Jeff and see if I can buy that from him or something.
Yeah.
Make sure you get the licensing for it before I make you a copy.
I hope Will's been pushing the cough button this whole time while we've been talking about this.
I can do a lot of things behind the scenes, so
yeah,
don't worry. Okay, well, we've got a band this week, and preliminary indications are there's going to be a little controversy tonight, so let's get to it. We've got a band called Beach House. They're from Baltimore. How many bands do you guys know that are from Baltimore?
Not that many.
I mean, I guess there are DC bands, but I don't know about Baltimore.
Baltimore Orioles is a baseball team, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
They started as a band.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, Eddie Murray was the bass player, and yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were like Edward Sharp and the Magnetic Zeros on stage. They had right. So many people. And Beach House consists of Alex Scally and Victoria LeGrand. It's a two-person band, and in my opinion, should be a three- or four-person band. We'll get to that later. But they recently released their third album called Teen Dream, and it's probably better described by just playing a track first. It's kind of a slow, dreamy, moody sound.
That sounds accurate. That's what it is.
So I'm not going to let Chris pick the first track.
Chris isn't going to pick any track.
Yeah. So let's.
I describe it as dreamy, all right. It's because I'm dreaming about listening to something good.
Wow.
He's thrown down the gauntlet right now.
There's been a couple of things that I haven't liked, but I'm always like, I think this one.
What? Like I'm gonna
file this one under a potential grower. I think I'm gonna. Yeah. You know, Chris will come right out and say it that he doesn't like it, but.
So
the audience will be the real judge, not Chris.
No, not me.
Well, let's let the audience judge track 5, right in the heart of the album. And I think this is a good one. So don't listen to Chris. Listen to this. This is called Used to Be.
I like that song. My comments are going to be just kind of directed at the entire album. But, and we talked about this, Will and I did. And I think, Chris, this is when you were at the other spot. But it's got a kind of a mechanical sound to it. And in a way that's not entirely objectionable to me. They kind of remind me a little bit of this band Broadcast. That's been around for a while and has that sort of same vocal style and mechanical sound to it. But I think the song that Will picked is really catchy, and probably a good number of the songs on this album are, I think, pretty memorable. And compared to their first album, I thought the sound is pretty similar, but the songs are a lot stronger on this and more memorable.
I had the first album also, and I thought it was kind of unremarkable and maybe even a little bit more mechanical than this one. And second one came out, and I just couldn't get interested in it. And then this one, I started reading the reviews of it, so I decided to get it. And I think the songs are just significantly better than the first one. I haven't heard the second one. And but my criticism would be that I think it sounds sort of like a demo a little bit, because I keep thinking that there should be a real drummer, because it's more noticeable in some tracks than others. But at times I'm just thinking to myself, man, if they just had the dynamics of a drummer, maybe even a bass player, but at least a drummer, it would just add so much life to it. But you know, the songs are good though, and I'm still giving it a positive review, unlike Chris.
I'm sorry, were you talking to me? I fell asleep listening to that song.
What are your impressions of?
Well, I don't know. I mean, most of the stuff that we listen to that I really like, I end up listening to like 50 times before we end up reviewing it, and it's harder for me to listen to the stuff that we don't like over and over. So I haven't given this probably the listen that it deserves. That song, actually, you may recall, last year my album of the year was Edward Sharp and the Magnetic Zeros, and that almost kind of has like almost like an Edward Sharp type of feel to it, I think. But yeah, I think Will did hit on something with not having a drummer. I just think it's kind of monotonous, and it just, I don't know, it just kind of puts me to sleep. There's not enough going on for me, I don't think.
Barrett, do you have a...
You know, I won't say that it won't at some point, grow on me, but I'll maybe give it one or two more chances.
Barrett, did you have a track? Or
yeah, I'm gonna choose a song that's gonna change Chris's mind. And before we started, I'm gonna tell you what I like about it. This one is number 4, and I always like songs where the verses are super catchy, and then the chorus is pretty catchy, but the verse is kind of the main hook, and that's what's happening in this song. And that's just kind of the song doesn't need to be that way for me to like it, but when they are that way, I just kind of appreciate it.
All right. This one's called Walk in the Park.
Thank you.
Well, she sings higher on the chorus, but I think the verse does kind of carry it.
Right. And that's another good example of what Will was talking about. The percussion sound at the beginning is...
Yeah, mechanical drum machine.
Yeah, it doesn't sound...
Although I noticed they did accent it with like a cymbal or something somewhere in the middle.
Yeah. They had a cymbal player adding to it. Okay, now I'm going to play a track that maybe Chris hasn't heard because you have to make it all the way to the end of the album. But I think the closing track on this album is a good one. So here's a little piece of Take Care.
One band that I've read people comparing this band to, and Will have something to say about this because it's a band that he loved as a younger man. I've heard people say that it's like the Cocteau Twins.
Oh,
you kind of hear that?
Yeah. Yep. A little bit. I mean, vocally different because nobody sounds like Elizabeth Fraser from the Cocteau Twins, but yeah, there's a little bit of that moodiness. Actually, the band I thought of is called Mazzy Star.
Yeah,
remember
a little
them?
Bit of that too.
Yeah, there's a little bit of that.
It's odd that you like that song because by the time you get to that last song, you've sat through like 50 minutes of exactly that like style of music.
Well, it's true. I mean, I will admit that part of what got me to like it, I think, is I just put it on, you know, as I was doing my daily activities, you know, doing the dishes and stuff, and the melodies kind of just started to infiltrate, and I think that consistently through the album, even though it does have a similar sound, the songs are just solid. They're really good.
Well, it's actually funny. As soon as you started that song, I just went and I started checking Facebook.
Yeah,
that's music to check Facebook to. Just because whenever it comes on, I realize I'd really rather be doing something else.
Well, just try that exercise like 8 more times, and maybe you'll like the album.
Yeah. So if anybody sees me post something at this time, they'll know I was listening to a little Beach House.
Well, yep. I think it's safe to say that if Beach House comes to Madison, that we're not going to get backstage passes. We're going to be blacklisted. Yep. We might not even be allowed into the club.
Yeah, from all the other bands that we like give glowing reviews to that let us backstage.
Yeah.
Well, I think if, you know, say if the Soft Pack came.
Yeah.
Why not, right?
Yeah, the Brother Kite, you know, they ought to give us a backstage pass, right?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you've been on them for...
Yeah, I have.
Decades.
Yeah. The Answering Machine, I was on them, so I think they owe us one. Yeah.
Someone should probably alert these bands to the fact that they're on our podcast.
That is what happened with the answering machine.
Right, right.
Their manager.
Yeah, they heard
it. They have a manager or
yeah,
somebody that's associated with the band.
Right.
Contacted us through the email.
Yep.
That Will gave out at the beginning of the podcast. You'll have to rewind or
yep,
whatever they do with MP3s.
Right.
You don't rewind them.
No. You direct your digital player or right, something, yeah.
You'll notice I just changed my Facebook picture to a picture of Prince from his the cover of his Love Sexy album. Seems to be getting a good response. Anyway, go ahead.
Chris,
more
while
beach
you're
house
on Facebook, why don't you create a fan page for Will's Band of the Week?
Ooh.
Mr. Facebook.
Yeah.
Well, maybe Will should do that since it's his damn podcast.
Would Will even be able to figure that out? You know, I have to say that your friend and our mutual Facebook friend, Steven,
yes,
he on Facebook, he did the funniest thing. He had a thing where it said that he became a fan of whoever plowed the end of my driveway.
Yeah, I saw that.
It was hilarious. And then all these people started joining it.
Yeah, like 20 people joined up to be a fan of the guy that plowed his driveway.
Yeah, I thought that was good. But I don't know how to do that. Maybe I can figure it out. Yeah, that'd be about analogous, right, to having this podcast have a fan page.
Yeah.
We should see who can get more fans on their page,
right,
us or the guy that plowed the end of Steven's driveway.
Right.
No, all we have to do, here's what you do. You say, I bet Will's Band of the Week podcast can get more fans than Nickelback.
Yeah,
and then everybody,
right,
everybody will join.
Or Creed.
You know what? I accidentally stumbled into a good idea there. Right?
Okay, let's do it. Or don't we have to pick like some unpopular right winger or something? Yeah. Like,
oh right, like this poodle wearing a tinfoil hat can get more fans than Glenn Beck.
Yeah.
Oh right.
Sarah Palin or whatever.
Yeah.
But if it doesn't work, I mean, what if our strategy backfires and there are only like two people who sign up then?
Yeah.
And then it'll
that's the danger.
It'll say you and one other person.
Yeah, well, we should have at least three.
Yeah, we need a confidential business meeting to decide our strategy. So, okay, well,
people who like do consulting on this stuff?
Yeah, I suppose
like image consultants and stuff, and like they do like what you should be tweeting about and what hashtags you should put on it to get all the followers you want. It's insane.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
Twitter that have they have like 20 or they're following like 20,000 people.
Yeah,
that's just crazy.
Right.
Yeah.
Not enough time in the day. Anyway, I'm like the Unabomber. I'm just a Luddite.
Well, Barrett, do you think I know what Chris's opinion is on this? But do you think the listeners have a good idea of this Beach House album?
I do. Maybe we want to leave with one more.
Sure. You got one?
Yeah, I like the song Norway, number 3. And, you know, the band kind of has a, you know, if they were from Norway, would that be that surprising? You know, they sound a bit like they are.
Yeah, they could be, yeah.
This is an ode to their country that they wish they were from.
Yeah, we should have had people guess this one, right? I mean, we've done that before.
Yeah, right.
You know, the Austin, Texas thing
or
whatever.
Where are they from? Yeah. And people would have said they were probably from Oslo, but
Jacksonville, Florida, maybe. So, well, let's let Chris check his Facebook page just for another minute and a half.
No, I'm not going to comment on this because, you know, I don't want to unduly, you know, influence anybody to not get this album if they like what they hear. But so
okay,
just go ahead.
All right, here's a little bit of Norway. Okay, two things. When you hear that sort of detuning thing that they have going on, does that just automatically mean you're supposed to compare them to My Bloody Valentine? I don't know why. I always think of that because they do that thing with the guitar.
Yeah, you know? They're kind of inviting that comparison, I think, with that.
The other thing is, it also made me think, and this is kind of a random thing, but remember our discussion 3 or 4 podcasts ago about Vampire Weekend using auto-tune?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I've totally figured out what auto-tune is because I heard on another podcast somebody was playing a clip from a remake of We Are the World that some like hip-hop guys did.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was like this complete auto-tune thing, and it just sounded like just totally ridiculous.
Right.
And so I totally now know what you guys were talking about. I think Vampire Weekend kind of did it in a little more subtle way, you know, and they didn't really, like, it didn't take over the song, so I'm not going to hammer on them too bad. But as a concept, yeah, it's horrible.
When it's not misused, well, some people would say that it's always misused. Yeah. But
just read off your script there. People should know that this podcast is heavily scripted.
It is.
You Will starts yelling at me when I go off script.
Yep. And then we cut that part out.
A lot of times you wouldn't know that it's there. It just sort of, they say that it's just there to kind of sweeten the voice and get it to be pitch perfect.
Yeah, they can apparently use it for people who can't sing on key and make it sound on key, right?
So that most people wouldn't know that it's some crazy effect.
Yeah.
But when they play around with it, that's when you get that.
Yeah.
Vampire Weekend thing, or that thing on the We Are the World
remake,
which I heard too, which is just obnoxious.
Yeah, it's horrible.
I mean, that use in there is,
you know, you can
terrible.
Do so much stuff now with digital editing that even just with this little free program that I use for this podcast, you can now, and I've played around with this and it's actually kind of fun, you can speed up and slow down things without changing the pitch. So you could, because it basically just chops up the digital audio. So, you know, in the past, if you had a record or something, you'd have to speed it up and then, you know, it'd sound like the chipmunks. Right. And so now you can just create a sped up or slowed down version of anything. And I saw an example of that. I was just at a basketball game a couple days ago, and during one of the timeouts, they had the cheerleaders, you know, doing a routine, and this is another rant, okay? The music that they pick for the routines is just absolutely ridiculous, okay? Not only they don't settle on just one thing, right? They don't just say, okay, we're going to do a routine to this song. No, they have to do like 14 seconds of one song followed by 10 seconds of another song that has absolutely no relation to the previous one, and they chop it up. But in this instance, they sped up the songs to like 30% faster than the original, and it sounded absolutely ridiculous. Just absolutely ridiculous, because it wasn't even close, but obviously they used this digital editing that they could speed up without, you know, making the pitch go up.
Right. Wow.
A total abuse of the technology, in my opinion.
They need to hire somebody like us.
Yeah.
To pick out the music for the Spirit Squad.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
So now our music podcast has devolved into criticizing dance teams,
yeah,
songs that they pick.
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
I just wanted to make that clear.
We have.
Why
All
not
right.
try a little Noah and the Whale? I mean, right? You could speed it up with that
right.
thing that Will was talking about.
Okay,
and make it
I'm going to try that. I'm going to try that. On the next podcast, we'll play that one of those tracks from the Noah and the Whale album that's so slow, and we'll speed it up and see what it sounds like.
Make it dancey.
Yeah.
It'll just make me depressed 3 times as fast.
That's right. Which you enjoy, apparently.
Yeah, I should give that another listen.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think we've covered our ground for this week, and it's time to wrap it up. Think so?
I think so.
We got
it's kind of a snappy, you know, 40-minute podcast this time.
Yeah.
Just breezed right by.
Yeah. All right. Well,
unlike
thanks again.
The Beach House album.
It doesn't speed by. But I fully expect 2 months from now, Chris is going to, we're going to be on a little, you know, break in the podcast, you know, and Chris is going to just chime in. He's going to say, I owe you guys an apology. I did not give Beach House a chance, and I realize now it's a really good album.
It'll be in his top 10.
Yeah, it could be.
No, I have been susceptible to suggestions. Things catch on. In high school, we used to walk around the halls, and my buddy Dennis, he said his goal was to get me to sing Motley Crue's Without You out loud. And so he'd like hum it. And I said, there's no way you will ever get me to sing that out loud. And then for some reason, like, we're walking down the hall and I'm like, without you. He's like, oh, I got you. Like, oh, damn.
So he hummed it until it just infiltrated your head and it just came out then.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I just started singing it on cue.
Yeah.
So I am susceptible to subliminal messaging.
Okay. We're going to work on this. All right. Well, thanks again, everybody, for listening, and we'll be back again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night, everybody.